If something occurs to you, or you just have this moment where you go, oh, I want to add something. This is the moment. You know, do it then. Well, I will at the end kind of ask the questions, but it's kind of like with Randall yesterday, these aren't things that you necessarily have a lot of questions about. So just let's participate so that when we walk out the door or stop at the break, we will say, okay, I've got something. There's a nugget here for you. I don't know what it is, but let's find it. Now, to begin, I think I need to get you involved. Now, turn to the person close to you or next to you. There's somebody right behind you. And say, oh, dear, we're going to have to do things. Say it. Okay. Now that you're into it, you like that. I can get on to it. The postman. Yesterday, you knew the title today was Character of Leadership. It will help me a great deal how to modify as I go if I kind of understand what you see as leadership. And yesterday, because you had so many presentations, and you'll have some today as well, but I just want anything that struck you, I want you to turn to that same person and say, yeah, one example I saw of leadership today that I call, and I'm going to say positive leadership. I'm going to be talking about positive leadership, not negative leadership. You with me? Just because I lead you doesn't mean I'm leading you someplace for the greater good, right? So let's talk about positive leadership and not selfish or negative leadership. So just kind of know the frame. What did you see just yesterday? Because I was here for the first part of the day and saw some. But then I'm attuned to that. But I want to see what you see. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Talk to that person and say, yeah, I saw. And then what I'm going to do so that you're sure you say the right thing is when you come back, I'm just going to ask you to call out some quick ones. I want to know where your perspective is before I come and add on to that. Get on your mark. You've got 30 seconds. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them what you saw yesterday. You call leadership. Go.
Interaction by the speakers, yeah, good.
And it did break the barrier, but I want to tell you what I noticed, I'm going to add on to that. They didn't do this, which is get clear over here all the time, because if I work with the audience and I'm going clear like this, what are you having to do? And then poor old George here, you know, it's left, not knowing what I did. You just have no idea what I did back there, right? So, yeah, I noticed that. That was good. Because I've seen abuse that way, too. It's in moderation. Good, good, good. Anything else? Yeah, talking about what Steve Love was talking about, collaborating with everybody, politics, and everybody to get to the issues. Yes, and I'm going to mention more about that in a moment. That's a good one. Anything else? Yes?
Just all of us here learning a few things about our interests,
learning new things about your industry, because let's face it, it's in flux, you know? And I think probably this meeting that you came to for this particular industry, you probably came to with a different mindset than you have normally come, because there's some unknowns. And it was very important, and I like you bringing out the two things where they were giving you detail about where we stood and what's going on. Okay, good. Well, then we can segue. I thought, depending on your answers, I was either going to add to it or we're going to start from scratch. Congratulations. We are not starting from scratch. Okay. On the front of your handout are two definitions that I'll read one of them to you now, and then we'll deal with the other later, so you'll know where we're going. On the very front, on the front where it has the big L and the big S and the big W, leadership with character, and that's what we're focusing on, is a consistent walk with development. And that should key you in where we're going. It is the art of liberation and relationship weaving that, and here are the three things, renews itself, amazes itself, and takes delight in its practitioner. Basically, you just told me what you took delight in that you saw yesterday. So that's really a tap in to the character of your leadership, that you would take delight in that, meaning you'd want to bring it to life. Benchmarking and exploring these essentials can bring encouragement. We're going to focus on that word, and refinement. That is further development, the continuing pursuit of excellence. We never get there, but the pursuit continues. Now, if you'll turn your page, some nuggets to get us started. How do we live that out? This renewing, amazing, delighting, weaving of relationships and liberation. How do we do that? I want to make it simple. It's a developmental process. That means no one is born a leader, and no one is born a leader with character. Developmental process. Anytime you add character to something, you have to understand now you're putting in a from you, through you, to you, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. It comes from you, through you, to others, but then it comes back to you. It's inextricably tied to you as a human being and where you want to be. The things that you mentioned came through from where their mindset was, from where they wanted to be in front of this group, through them, with whatever their gifts and talents were, to you, yes, but to others, if you will. But guess what? They aren't here, but it just came back to them in your remembering it. From you, through you, to others, comes back to you, and that's what we're going to focus on, because that's the only way you know. That's the only way you know. It's what comes back to you. Now, you can argue with it. You can say, well, you know, if they just didn't understand, but you lead your life. Remember Rand talked about that yesterday? You can affect your life. And everybody in here said, yes, we know we can affect our life. Well, now we're going to move that to you lead your life. Now we'll go to the other quote that was on the front. I'll read it to you later. A lot of generals have great quotes. This one's so good for where we're going, for what's going to come through you to others and then back to you. The main ingredient of good leadership is good character. There it is again. This is because leadership involves conduct. Think through you, the response back to you tells you how it was received. And conduct is determined by values. Let me give you a little pyramid we'll work with. You've heard it twice now. The bottom line for leadership character is character. Now, the other two we've got to pull in here, you know, you can be this great person and have high integrity and all this, but you do have to have some competence, right? I mean, competence has to be a part of it. And then on top of it, you've got to have a vision. A vision of how do you want it to come back to you. Do you see that? So if you know how you want the response to be, it really comes from how you use the foundational values through you, see, through your values to the other person. Notice in the middle of the page it says, a personal, not positional, daily workout. Now, I use the term workout for a lot of things. I do a lot of work in communication and workforce engagement, things like this. It's a mental workout, literally, because you are always working out to others, see, from you through you to you. You're always working it out. So it's not leadership. We tend to think it's a positional title, but you're in leadership for this company or whatever. You're in leadership because you're a human being doing something. You're leading somebody somewhere. And I mean, even if you're at the grocery store or you're at the gas station, or wherever you are, I guarantee you, and I'm going to move you down to those nanoseconds, because that's where we really understand who we are consistently. You'll hear the word consistent. Consistent. It is an impartation, not an imitation. Good. It's an impartation, not an imitation. In other words, I can bestow on you, a title, a job, something to do. But I can't impart you with the leadership to do it. I can't do that. Remember, you have to develop that. Now, it's not an imitation. We do a lot of imitation. We say, well, just because I put on a suit and now I'm here, then I'm the figurehead. Well, there's some expectations that go with that, you see? And if I just try to put on an act, pretty soon, we know that. Do we recognize empty suits? Ultimately, sure. Because you know why? Because what's coming to us is just confusion. So when you have a lot of people around you confused, think, whoa, wait, that's what's coming back to me. So whatever that means, you can't imitate. It's an impartation. And going down, it says, leadership can never be divorced from the individual. You cannot impart what you do not possess. So in other words, you can't be a leader with character if you don't start with character, right? You can't be a character leader if you don't have confidence, because your character would keep you from taking something you don't have confidence to do. We hope. But what's the carrot? What's the carrot that sometimes we do take, and we take something that we don't have the confidence to do? And I've done it, so I'm talking about myself here. What's the carrot that will take us there sometimes? Money. I did it. In the early 80s, when I had been teaching school, English, speech, drama, and journalism, in the high schools of Texas, and I just thought, there's something else I've got to do, okay? So I was a manufacturing rep for a meat company called Standard Meat Company that then became a part of Sara Lee Corporation in Fort Worth. So I went around to franchise meat companies in those white coats and those white hats, you know. How's your fatty trim today? Well, isn't that great? How are your menu wives? Well, why don't you take a tour through our plant? So I was the man of white at the meat manufacturing plant for a while. But just, you know, it wasn't working. Now, why would I take a job like that? I just told you, didn't I? Woman, early 80s, I wanted to pack up the money, bring it home in a pan, or whatever that meaning of that all that is. I couldn't do it. But see, I was fooled at the time. I was an old leader there. In fact, I was fired from that job. But I was fired in love. And I'll tell you about that a little bit later. But I was fired because somebody somebody was a leader. Are you hearing me? Somebody was a leader and said, ooh, misfit. I kept trying to make it work because I thought, well, you can do anything you put your mind to. Okay, you know that's a lie, right? You have to have competence. It has to be a part, and Randall just briefly touched on it yesterday. It has to be a part of the strengths given to you at birth. It has to be a part of the plan for your life. And if it is, that your confidence will be there. But I got to tell you, margin and yield reports and talking to beef carcasses was not the plan for me. Okay? So I bought that one. So you have to understand, there has to be a competence there. And if there isn't, we have to, the character of leadership has to say, this is the direction I should go, or this isn't the direction I should go. It's an impartation, not an imitation. Ever seen someone that has a lot of character? You just like them. They're just, you know, they really have a lot, but they really just aren't good at what they're doing. Ever known anybody like that? I just told you I was. I mean, in fact, I was actually, though, I became unlikable at the meat company, I gotta tell you. It's just sometimes, that's where mentoring comes in, that's a whole other subject. But, you know, sometimes you need a little help to figure that out. I had a leader help me out, and it's come back to him, it's come back to me. Have you ever seen someone who has character, they've got competence, oh, I mean, they can get the job done, but they have no vision? Ever seen that? They just can't think of the big picture, but oh, the deep, you know, I get so long, everything's perfect, but it's just not where it needs to be. See, we've got to put these three things together because we're relationship building, we're renewing, we want to amaze ourselves and delight ourselves, and that doesn't happen if you're struggling in any of those categories. And you'll see on down in your sheet, the main thing, now get this, the main thing that comes through us, is not the work we do, but the relationship we, hear this word, maintain, and the atmosphere produced by that relationship. You know, I walk into a lot of companies and a lot of high schools because I have a nonprofit that works with high schools now to mentor high school kids before they come to the workplace, and you know, so they know this on the front end. And there is it. And would you agree with me? There's an atmosphere you pick up. Just like that. I can tell you, walk into high school, I can tell you about the principal if I'm in high school for about 10 minutes. If I walk into an organization, I can tell you about the leader. I can tell you about, you know, where people are. Are they liberated or are they just trying to get things done? Are they working the job performance reviews or are they living and growing and creating and taking us places we never thought we could go? It's not very difficult. Character leadership is not hard to determine, but it's the thing about it is, it's other-centered. See, that's where we get stuck. See, from you, through you, to you, it has to be other-centered, and too often we decide, well, I'm the boss, I'll do what I want to. I'm the leader now. All the shots have to be called by me. Now we just broke relationship. When you are in it, you know it. From others' reactions. Confused, concerned, don't know what's going on, can't figure it out, afraid to make a decision that I might get in trouble for. Those are just tells. It says, so, you know, as you're thinking about it, where are you in that? Where are you in that? Where is your environment? What can you do about it? Remember that other-centered can come. It doesn't have to be positional. So what I mean is, even if you are not the official leader, guess what's going to happen if you employ the character of leadership? You know, from you, through you, to you, other-centered, you can go up. It doesn't have to just be down. Things happen because we are willing to commit wherever we are, and it takes some bravery. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Think of it as salt. Think about you as salt. Think about leadership with character as salt. I like the example because I think it works well for this. It creates an environment. Now, salt, for example, does several things. It preserves. Okay? It makes things stay together, if you will. Lasts a long time. That means if you're in an organization, do I know that you're building your organization? Do I know that you're here for the long haul? Are you just here as a flash in the pan? I thought of this. I was on an education board meeting for one of the school districts in Mid-Cities, and there was a guy who was on a, quote, fast track, whatever that means to you. And I didn't really know it, but he came in, and he was an HR guy, and he'd come to these meetings, and I kept getting confused because people kept saying, you need to tell so-and-so about, you know, your mentoring thing. You need to tell him. So I'd keep telling him, and he'd say, oh, that's really interesting. And then I realized, through a series of experiences, that he was there to serve that position because his goal was to be superintendent. He didn't really care. You know, he wanted to get this job done, but believe me, he wasn't going to take anything new because that's risky. Well, that might not make me superintendent. I know, it didn't work. I'm running, all right? That's what I'm talking about. You know, you preserve where you are, you make it better, you make it solid. You're not just there to fly through. Salt, because it flavors. Do you flavor your workplace? How do you know? I just told you a while ago, how do you know if you flavor it positively? How do you know? I just told you a while ago. Okay, this is tense. By there, huh? Yeah, what's coming back to you? Do people talk to you? Do people, you know, look you in the eyes when they talk to you, that they say, genuinely glad to see you in the morning? You know, I can remember at the meat company where I was a misfit. Oh, well. But I can remember going in the morning, and what was so disconcerting, and I just didn't understand it. And to defend myself, I said, oh, well, these people, they just don't know. They just don't know that I don't have it. And I remember walking in and really being afraid somebody would say something to me, you know? But also noting that everybody just sort of averted my eyes. It's a message. It's just an observation. That if you're the flavor, you're the one that when you come in, you just say, how are you? You get to talk about the kids a little bit. You know, you go by the water cooler, get started. Salt. Penetrates. That means if you're on a team for a while, then basically because you're there and what you're giving out, it kind of gets picked up by the whole group, and all of a sudden you're the ones that can do a little more. You're the ones that laugh a little more. I remember when I was teaching high school in Spring High School, Houston, Texas, and we were in the open areas where, I don't know if you have experienced open area, but it's like bring a mob, you know, and then try to teach a mob of teenagers. It's pretty exciting. But we were, one group would face this way, another teacher's class would face this way, and another would face this way. Well, my classes weren't quiet. And my team leader didn't really like that. She wanted everybody to come in and sit down and shut up and read. Well, I'm to learn, don't get me wrong. But I also understand teenagers. I really like to sit down and shut up and do nothing. You know, I realize, I mean, I appreciate y'all sitting down and actually paying attention. This is really great. But we're not going to do this for as long as, you know, as a whole day of over and over the same thing. Anyway, pretty soon all my classes, because they knew where we were going, they'd laugh a lot. Or they were just a little noisy, not loud. See, but that to me was saying I'm getting the right response. They are engaged, all right? What do you know about where you are, who you work with, who you see every day? How do you know you're penetrating them, engaging them on a human level, building a relationship? Salt creates thirst. They want you back. They want more. The most delightful thing I can tell you about today is that when Missy called me, it was because someone had heard me speak in 2005, and two of them got together and said, oh yeah, I'll make a meeting with Flanders. You go. Can I read that? That's cool. That's a message. Now, not everybody would do that, okay? You know, I know. And this is the best one. This actually is the last one. I was talking to a group at Bell Helicopter, and they said, Sandra, Sandra, you need to, on the salt thing, you need to add this, and they were right. This is so good. He said, salt doesn't taste very good by itself. It only works its magic when it's amongst other flavors of food. Is that where you are? You need others? You need others? Randall said something yesterday about weaknesses, and it reminded me to focus on your strengths, which is true. But on a relational end, focus on your weaknesses, because that's where you need relationships. You see what I'm saying? That's why we need each other. We aren't. We don't taste that good by ourselves. Now, there are three points there in the middle of your handout. One is small moments versus showstopper moments. Small moments versus showstopper moments. How do we know? Does the response have to be huge? And there's the good and the bad. When I'm in a hotel, I always think of this. It's a small moment, but I guess it was 10 years ago. I don't remember if you saw the expose on people that were washing, the housekeeping was not washing the glasses in rooms. Spray cleaning stuff on, and I always use paper cups now, I gotta tell you. But it was just kind of that's a small moment, but it really affected my entire view of all hotels. I can't remember the hotel chain at this point, I don't think it matters. It just was like, ugh. And then I was listening to the communication thing yesterday where she was talking about the pizza people, and she didn't say what they did, but you could imagine the rats, and I'm going, oh my God. So we've got a lot to come back, because those are going to be there, but what are the small moments that we can look for beyond that are related to you? Small moments are, see, I look for them everywhere. Everywhere. This morning, I got one. Okay, Sue, I'm going to do this now. We were talking this morning, and she says, Missy has her oldest child, 5-year-old, going to kindergarten tomorrow, and you went yesterday, I guess, for teacher orientation. And she's going to take Monday, and it's the separation of the first child going to kindergarten, and I can really feel that. And they were talking about that, and she said, I was teaching school when that happened to me, and my principal, I don't remember the conversation before, but my principal realized that I was going through that, and her principal, now listen to the character of leadership here in a small moment that she didn't even know. She said, my principal said, you know what? You need to go be with your child on their first day and take them to kindergarten. She said, well, I can't because my class. She says, yes, you can, because I'll take your class. Now, Miss Sue's comment beyond that really blew me away. She said, I didn't even know I could ask for that. I didn't know I could ask. Because in other environments where she had been, she couldn't have asked that. You see what I mean? Who is afraid to ask you something? Who is afraid to ask you, what are you not looking at that's coming from you? When someone doesn't ever ask you a question, red flag. They're not engaged with you. There may be something they need to ask you, but you haven't developed through you something that would think you could ask it because you might get mad, you might not like it, you don't have time. See, what's coming from what you say you want to be as a leader through you to them, if that response, and so from that point on, Sue said, she had a great relationship with that principal, wouldn't you? Because she felt like, in her words exactly, I think, where she felt like I knew the principal was there for me and for my personal kids as well. Salt, small moments. Sometimes it's the things that we just think don't need to be done. Let me give you small, I just am always looking for them. I recently lost my mother in April. I had been her sole care provider for 7 years. It's very hard. And we watched a service, because the internet, we could watch a whole service, not just a replay of a service, worship service. And it was really cool. We started having technical problems, and they were changing over there, whatever. Anyway, so one morning I was trying to get on, and so I emailed and I said, okay, what's the deal? We're not on. Well, this guy Josh and I went back and forth while And finally it came on, and I emailed him back and I said, thank you, it's on, thank you, we're okay now, I appreciate your help. Never doubt that that was the end of it. But Josh has great potential as a character leader. Because Josh, I said, it's probably my machine, probably didn't have enough memory or something, you know, it's probably a glitch on my end because my voiceover IP messes up sometimes, blah, blah, blah. He emailed me back and he said, no, ma'am, it was not you, it was us. We were having some problems with some things, so don't think it was you. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. I was delighted. See, you're delighted in the presence of leadership that's renewing and amazing. You know, when people do what they, and you know, we do customer service sessions. I did a bunch of customer service with healthcare back in the 90s. And you know, you can say all these things, but the truth is, if the leadership isn't in place to do that, part of it from the top down was we want you to think about this, but I'm going to tell you, if you've got somebody there sitting in the job that doesn't have the personal piece in place, the character, the competence, and the vision of where they want to be in their job, they won't do what Josh did. See, it's the little moments. It's not just the big ones. That means you can talk about them. In-N-Out Lube on 8th Avenue in Fort Worth. I went and it was on the way to the hospital, so I got to where I just do my oil change there. Now, remember what I said about atmosphere a while ago? You walk in, if you're in the Fort Worth area, you walk into In-N-Out Lube and just do it. It's just different. And I knew it was, but I wasn't specific about it until I was in there and I was talking to a woman in the lobby. Kind of a long story, we were really engaged in the conversation. He finished what he needed to do with my car, and he came up, and we had talked earlier. I had told him I'd lost mama, and because I've been in there, you know, several times. And he said, I'm so sorry. He said, you know, I lost my wife after 38 years, and I miss her every day, so forth and so on. And so we kind of bought it. Well, he came in, and he was behind the counter, and he just stood there like this. I wasn't even aware of his presence, and we were over here talking. You know, and finally I looked up and I saw him. I said, oh, are you ready for me? And he said, yes. And he just said, you know, just patient, not, yeah, I can't. He just waited until I was ready to come forward. And then he said, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Tiny moments. Look for them. Find them. Reward them. Speak to them. And now we get to the medical care home that we talked about yesterday. Now, I asked several people, is that a home, is that a building, or is it a concept? And I finally figured out, I guess it's a concept, okay? And I got to tell you, I've been there in the health that we have now. I know, but it's, you know, you were talking about who are the leaders, who are the people that cared enough to get me through a horrible time? Dr. Charles Compton, Dr. Mark Collins, and the ICU nurse, Kendra Duncan, at Baylor, All Saints. I'm going to tell you, they kept me informed. I felt important. I felt my decisions were right. They were very hard decisions. I'm doing pretty good, huh? Didn't know if I could do this yet. But it's such a great point. Leaders are everywhere, and they're in there. Dr. Carlton was our primary care, has been for years. Everybody we went to is connected. I mean, I was looking at your schematic and I was going, this isn't new. I mean, I really don't understand it all, but I think that's good news to you. It's not foreign. There are people like me. Mother was on Medicare and we had Medicare supplemental, and I realize all that's changing. But the point is, let's keep the vision of the good things we have. People want to beat up on healthcare and, you know, tell you people, you know, you're just about money. No. The way I met Kendra when Mother went into ICU, you know, you sit there and you can only go, there are 3 hours you have to in the morning and 3 hours at night they have to make her shift change. And so I'd see her come out and talk to other people. Well, whoever was with Mom would never come out and talk to me during those times. I was just sort of left, and I thought, well. And I just said, gosh, I'd really like to have Kendra. Well, the next day, boom, all of a sudden, Kendra was assigned to Mom, and I got the treatment. And in fact, because of her, I was able to go in when things were getting bad and stay with her. gone too far. Okay. But the point is, she did what she didn't have to do. She did what nobody else had to do. Now, will they do it because she did it? I hope so. Will the other nurses? I hope so. But all I can tell you is, these small moments, and I wrote them all a letter, you know, these small moments are alive in your industry. They are alive and well. Okay, we're not going to put another email. Can't do it.
There's more, but we'll just leave that. Let that pass. As the wife of Bath in the Canterbury Tales so wisely said, you can tell it's not an Englishman.
Okay, next thing. There's a mind-heart-lips connection. Now go back. You really started with yesterday with Randall. There's a mind from heart through lips connection. What comes out of your mouth? Now this is where you can be the encourager. See, to see the moments and encourage them says to them what you respect, and when people are respected, what response do they give you back? R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? So it's a mind, lip, heart's connection. And if you'll think about it, let me go back. I don't like to talk about current things in the political world, but Ron Reagan, we go back, okay, can we go back there? He said, and I love this, Sam Donaldson, I believe, made some comment about, oh, Reagan this or Reagan that. I mean, it doesn't matter who the president is. Somebody in the media is going to pounce on him. I mean, isn't that true? So he was saying something, and Reagan said, this is from through lips, okay, mind, heart, lips. Donaldson said whatever it was, and I remember Reagan's response was, oh, that's just relationship, even with those who are, quote, your enemies. I mean, not only literal, you know, by enemies, but yeah, relationship. If you're always consistently about the same thing, you're about others, you're about moving them to a response that says they can come here too. See, it's a modeling, it's a constant mentoring. Those of you that are parents, are you hearing me? It's a constant mentoring. What comes out of your mouth is important. It's telling us something. Will Rogers, let me go back a little further. Will Rogers was one of my dad's favorite heroes. Do you remember the famous saying by Will Rogers? If you're from Oklahoma, you better. Do you know what it is? I never met a man I didn't like. And you know he meant that. He didn't say he loved him, but he said, I never met a man I couldn't like. What quips are remembered from you? If I run into people that see you every day, people that work with you, people that are responsible to you, whatever, what would I say? Oh yeah, he or she's always saying, I love it when they say, okay, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Now think a minute. You've heard something through your career that stuck with you. You've heard something. Don fired me, which I would consider a showstopper event. I can say he fired me in love. You know why? Because what he said. He said, Sandra, you need to go do this speaking thing. Now he didn't say, Sandra, you've worn us out. You're not happy. Mark and Neil's in your thing. He didn't beat me up at all. He just handed me a sheet of contact photos that could take you. We had started doing trainings for a distributor group. See how that works? And in one of those trainings, he kind of went, you're good at that. I said, yeah. I never said I didn't like teaching. I just said, I knew there was something else I was supposed to do. Maybe it's this. And he kind of looked at me. So we had had that conversation. So they had taken pictures, I thought, for the newsletter for the company. But instead, he handed me those photos. And he said, maybe you can use these in your first version. How could I be depressed about being fine? How could I not go ahead and do it? How could I go and sign up and go into another corporation where I can miserably begin because my competence wasn't where I was saying it should be just for the money? How could I do that? I couldn't, because this man, from his heart, from his lips, encouraged me. You've been encouraged. 30 seconds. Got your head down? I gave you time to think. Turn to the person next to you and say, yeah, I remember being told, or I remember this time, and get ready to set 30 seconds to go.
Thank you, Anna.
She said he called her Alberta like Albert Einstein, yeah. And it gave me confidence. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's really good. Give me another one. Yes, wait, can we give this to you?
Early on in my career, I had a mentor as a young businessman, and it's always stuck with me. And I, early is on time is late, and late is unacceptable.
I don't have this in the thing today, but I got to tell you, timeliness is a relationship thing. You know that, right? You figure that out? You make a statement every time you're late. And sometimes if you're too early, you go out both ways. Okay, another one. Another one. Details. See, that's no competence. Listen, they're coming to you because they don't know. detail about them. For example, what do you hear? This is a little test, okay? Tell me if this is a leader statement or a manager statement. Now, by manager, I mean got character, competence, but no vision. So it's not leadership with character. It's just I can manage this stuff. I just figure out how to make it work. Okay, here's three statements. If you hear them in your environment now over what's happening, because you know something changes frequently, okay? So if I say this, well, here's what we have to do to make it work. Is that a manager or a leader statement? Good. You might get 100% of the three questions. That's 33% you've already got. Okay, second question. Second. Well, let's start with how we know this will affect the people who come to us and fail to candidates. Manager or leader? Leader. Third. Oh, 66. Well, it's a percentage. It's math, isn't it? Okay. Third, what is the average person looking to us for? Leader or manager? Leader. 100%. You see, words mean things. What's out in your environment means things. What are you changing if it's coming out wrong? When someone else comes out with something that's in the wrong direction, what do you do to turn it around without beating them up and just maybe educate them? That's leadership management.
From the mind through the heart through your lips. And Randall was on that yesterday about his language. He's absolutely right. In fact, I think, yeah, it's still up there. Thoughts to language to behavior.
What you say does have import. What are your coworkers, employees, physicians, families, individuals, your fellow Americans hearing from you about this healthcare thing? Is it really going to work? You know, I got a tremendous education yesterday, and I was like, gosh, I wish everybody could come in and could see what we're dealing with. You know. Well, you guys know. I mentioned that a moment ago. What could you do? From you, through you, to you, back to you. Do you want everybody to sway on pins and needles and fear and, you know, angst and not understanding? Or what could you do? We saw some examples yesterday, but what could you do immediately so that people kind of have a grip on what's really happening? Name one thing. What could you do?
She mentioned BP yesterday, and I saw an ad this morning, which reminded me again.
Their ads now are, we're staying here, we love it here, this is the guy from Louisiana. You know, we need the face of you out there, because if you don't get your face out there, possibly, as our partner in trying to understand this, what's going to happen when everything comes down and it's not what everybody expected? Who are they going to blame? Who are they going to blame on the front line? You. Well, I knew somebody was going there. I'm trying not to go there, okay? But they're going to blame you because you're the one that has to say no. You're the one that has to say it won't work. You're the one that has to say, I'm sorry if you can't pay the deductible or the copay. I'm sorry it went up. I'm sorry. But you know, Stephen Love was great. I think he was courageous. To me, it seemed courageous. He said, let me do a comparison. Remember that comparison he did? He said, with our numbers from last year, if I put them to what now are the parameters, here would be the cost. That was illuminating. You can't expect people to understand where things are coming from if you're not willing to be, there's a courage piece in being a leader with character, with a vision. You know, you're responsible. And I thought he was wonderful in saying that, and we're all for, listen, America is not a selfish nation. We never have been. We do want everyone to have their health needs cared for. We do. But there's all this stuff that can get in the way, and it's mostly emotion if we don't understand. And then we get in a health situation, we come to you, you can't do this, you can't do that, and nobody ever told us, and then here we are. When Medicare was going into Part D, I remember going through that with Mother, and they did exactly that. All the providers came in, and they had meetings in local churches in our area, and they said, this is what this means, here's how you parse it out, and we'll have an individual meeting with you about your current. So by the time we made that decision, we knew what it was. It wasn't just, well, you got to do it.
Face to face
is where relationships are renewed, where it gets exciting, where you amaze people with your ability to have compassion, and you get delighted by their actual thank you, which comes in many ways. Thank Apple. What did Apple do when, I love this, I don't know, Chris, I'm an Apple fan, so got to admit it, but when the Apple came out and there was something wrong with the iPhone, the new iPhone, if you touched one corner, you couldn't get an antenna, you couldn't get, and Steve Jobs was like, well, don't hold it there. You know, it wasn't all this blather about, well, you know, no problem, and you know, I'm okay, well, you said, well, the answer is just don't hold it there. See, just be simple, be direct. Consider these people your family members. Because we are all family when it really comes down to it. Competence, character, competence, vision. Things are changing. And I won't go into the change thing because Randall did a good job of it. That's where the angst comes from. That's where the stress comes from. But let me ask you this. This is a time to answer this question. You say, well, Sandra, I've been in this business, you know, a long time. I kind of know what's going on and what you're saying isn't what we do, and I don't think we need to, because, you know, first we've got to figure it out, because that's all manager talk and that's low character talk. But let me ask you a question. Do you have 10 years experience? Now, the next is hard. Don't kill the messenger, okay? Next is hard. Do you have 10 years experience? Or do you have 1 year of experience repeated 10 times? I'm asking you, are you developing as you go? Is this an opportunity for you to move higher? Is this an opportunity for you to be a greater leader? Is this an opportunity for you to share your competence with your industry and those that will be affected in a way you've never had the possibility of doing before? You see, if there weren't all these changes, we wouldn't have all this need to connect, would we? Connection is a good thing. I think sometimes we begin to make decisions from our desks and it affects somebody on the other end. But we forget who they are because we aren't connected anymore. We aren't out there in those meetings where they can ask the really hard questions.
I don't think it's a bad thing. Unless we decide we're going to ignore it. Unless we decide we're going to, that's schoolwork. That'll be good enough. You know, before you
think about what you're not going to say or what you are going to say, I don't know if many of you are, this is such a good, I just went to a Rotary Club meeting. It was in Decatur because they may be the next school that takes our high school program. I was reminded of the Rotary four-way test. Are you familiar with that? Oh, good. Well, then I'm sure. Okay. But it's a good leadership test. And what they focus on in Rotary is leadership, community involvement, staying, a part of community activity. It says, before you open your mouth, and remember the mind, heart, lips, from you, through you, to you, before you open your mouth or close it and not say anything, first, is it the truth? That's simple. Is it the truth? He's got the motive there. Is it the truth? Two, is it fair to all concerned? That was harder. Because you may not know all the concerned, but you know from past experience a good idea of who. Third, I love this one. Goes right to the relationships piece. Weaving of relationships. Will it build goodwill and better friendships? I am telling you, if you get out there in an education mode and try to help people understand, there are people out there afraid. They're afraid. And they don't know who to ask. Now go back to Sue's comment where she said, I didn't know I could ask. They don't know they can ask you. So what happens when you show up and you say, ask me. I'm going to tell you some things now. Ask me. Oh my goodness. Does it build goodwill?
Yeah.
Create friendships. Fourth, will it be beneficial to all concerned? Relationship. We share the information.
You're in a place in history right now that you have information
we don't have. This is your moment. This is your moment.
You know, when you try to go to the place of the world,
I want you to think about, listen, America has had, and you know this, we have had the greatest healthcare system in the world. Why do you think people fly to our shores? Hello? You're right in a pivotal moment. Don't blow it. Participate. Figure it out. And you're doing that's why you're here, aren't you? That's why you have this wonderful conference, so you can come together and set up today and participate and see what it is you can do. Well, now, do it in a leadership way. Involve them. When I say, I said it earlier, and I say we've had the greatest health care in the world, and I hope to continue to, I want to ask you a question. What other nation, when there's a tsunami or a landslide or an earthquake, what other country shows up without the land, food, and supplies to just keep children? Who does that to us? I know I'm getting a little patriotic here, but that's where I am. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of how the world sees us. And this healthcare thing, you're just in the big middle of it. You didn't ask for it, but it's here. And they're looking. They're watching. This isn't done in a vacuum.
It's one thing to look at it
and do what you're doing. You come, you try to get up today, you try to figure out how we're going to deal with it. And really, I think what a lot of I heard yesterday was you figure out the questions you need to ask. There really aren't answers. And that's all good. Or the other option is, just go with the flow. It'll work out. Only dead fish go with the flow.
Don't go with the flow. Okay. Last piece there, mental focus.
And there's a song here. Mental focus. I'd written it down because I thought, what an illustration. Josiah Mooney was talking about Trinity Mother Teresa Healthcare and their home care center, what they did. Remember that? But he ended with just brilliance, I thought. He said, there is no plug and play. It's hard. Listen to this. It's about relationships. Leadership is the key. And personal development necessary. And you can go back out. That's on his handout. That's online. If you want to pick that up. And I thought, couldn't have said it better myself. See, before you decide that, I'm not sure, or you complain to a coworker about all this, well, who knows, or you curse out somebody, or you stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Make it over. Dun, 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 dun. Make it over. Think. It goes back to what you started with yesterday, when I pull up over today. It starts right here, and what comes out of your lips. What you're willing to move through you to those of us who don't understand. Relationship weaving. Take delight in it. Think. Work it out. Pericles. This is a great, and this is similar to what you said you had in your email. Do the scatter thing again. Yes, not what you gather, it's what you scatter. And add that to this. This is Pericles. And this was a friend of mine's email signature. I like this too. By the way, look at your email signature. You know, what if you had something inspiring? What you leave behind is not what is engraved into the monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. Thank you. What are you weaving into the lives of the people around you now in this very difficult time? There's a definition, my favorite short definition for leadership, comes from Max Dupree. Max was CEO of Herman Miller Company for many, many years. He's now retired. He may still be CEO emeritus. But he has a book, 267 pages, Leadership is an Art. Read it. It's big print, double-spaced, it's a wonderful book. His definition of leadership says, leadership is liberating others to do what is required of them in the most effective and humane way possible. And then he goes on to say, it's more a weaving of relationships than an amassing of information. Have you heard that 6 or 7 times now? Are you getting that? The relationship piece is the vision. When you walk away from the event, folks, it's not that you were the one who got us through that. It's not that you got the bottom line. It's what did you leave in your wake? What's the atmosphere you left in your wake? And I mean your wake not just at work, but with the people who did or didn't get preparation for big changes that are coming. In the next hour, you can start, can't you? You look for a leadership opportunity. You had one this morning. You noticed some things yesterday. Did you tell those people? Did you tell those people you mentioned this morning that you saw, they're keeping us on time, that the speakers that said something great that you want, did you tell them? Did you tell them? I want you to repeat after me. I now know. Leadership is about what comes from me, through me, and to others. And I know what's going on by their response to me. Let me tell you something. When you consistently move in that direction, just saying hello this morning when I left the hotel, I don't know what it is. I just like saying hello to people. And like even better, I don't know if I'll ever see you again, but there's something about somebody who just, well, hi, have a good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's going to be good morning. That's some song back, some musical, something. Just love it. I just love it. When I came in here this morning, I had so many moments. You see, delight in it. Delight in finding him. You win. All you do is get more to give back. This morning I came in here. They were setting up the food. They moved the podium down to another table. And I went, anyway, I need something that's a little higher than a table, but a little lower. They went, oh, we've got this table. I mean, oh my goodness. I loved it. I was in the presence of people engaged. They were character leaders. They were. They made decisions. They stopped what they were doing just to help me. That's a personal decision. And I've been places where it's like, so sorry. Sorry, good. I mean, haven't you? Be the ones. Be the one who draws the one to you. These times are hard. Okay, good. And I'm going to look forward to see how this whole thing goes. You're in a wild time. But you know what? It's a wild time. Great thing. Thank you.
We're going to take about a 10-minute break, and we'll be back here in a few minutes.
And would you put the yellow sheet just on the table over there, my sheet? Please, please, please.
Thank you so much.
Are you turned off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking to you.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Oh, thank you.
It's one of my favorite subjects.
Thank you so much.
There were about four other subjects in there, but it's just a good subject. Y'all are just, God love you.
Well, I really loved what you said about my soul. It's just really interesting.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really
sometimes good. The simplest things can explain where 45 words and 20 videos will never get it. Yeah.
That was outstanding. I could give you a few scriptures to go with your point you preach. I know where you got your ideas.
Well, you know, I've got a good source. Right?
I know you do.
That's right.
I know you do. I was looking at my iPhone. I've got the Bible here. And I was looking up scripture that tie in directly out of abundance of the heart and all that sort of thing. I mean, everything you talked about.
So, yeah.
Well, I figure this. If you got good material, you can go a long way. And I don't ever, that's my confidence.
Yeah.
I don't want to put anything in your head that is not good.
That's true. It was outstanding.
Thank you. You know what? I'm caught here. Wait, help me.
Okay.
I think I've got these. When I went to the bathroom, I got it. And I will come home.
Yes, please do. Please do. And I would love to put you in touch with her.
Great.
Because you would be great.
Would you like this story?
I do.
Totally.
That's like, what?
I just
and
love
I also appreciate you. Because whenever they were talking about leadership, you know, they said something about Jonathan, which he's done a great job for the past several years, but I'm new. I'm kind of taking over his role, and I appreciate you adding me to the list.
Oh, you're welcome.
I was like, oh, thanks.
I should have said something
really
about his next time. Yeah, we all do. You're a good team.
Well, and he is fantastic, absolutely. But, you know, it's just hard when you transition to, you know. So thank you.
He's being a leader to make your transition
he is.
Good.
He is. For
and
sure.
You're welcome. I'll be thinking about you Monday.
Thanks.
Well, it's just hard.
It will be, but it'll be okay.
Change is hard.
He's so
well, of course. And, you know, if you know it's going to be. Now, how do we turn this off?